coming to you live from my apartment. It's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who's ready to spill all the Big Brother secrets like I'm Todrick Hall. I'm Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody. Big Brother celebrity. A meaty episode tonight here. A lot of strategy going on. A lot of head-scratching moves. A new power. The feeds are here. And so we are so excited to be here with you live for celebrity Big Brother coverage here on Thursday night. And we are very lucky to be here with a woman who just got done wrapping up a season of Hot Dummies on Islands, here to talk about people who used to be hotter, but now we're in the Celebrity Big Brother house. It is Kirsten McInnes.
Hello. I'm so excited to be here. I feel like there's significantly more brain cells in the Celebrity Big Brother house than on Too Hot to Handle, so I feel like it's going to be a steep learning
low
curve
bar
for me, but I'm excited for another season of Celebrity Big Brother.
Okay. How you doing, Kirsten?
I'm doing great. I feel like that was a very fun episode of Big Brother. Like, I get to come talk to you too. Like, I don't know. This is great. I feel like it's, we don't get to sit down like this and talk like we used to, you know?
Yeah, this is going to be very exciting because we had a great night of Celebrity Big Brother to talk about. And of course, a man who must be like a kid on Christmas here. And it's even a better gift than getting a Mon Juan hat for this man because the feeds are here. It's Taryn Armstrong. Taryn, how are you?
Doing great, Rob. The season has officially started because the feeds are on and then there's already stuff to talk about. I'm feeling very in sync with you right now.
Yes. Okay, good. Well, me and you are very, very in sync. Yes. Okay. Ready to go.
When are you two going to choreograph something for that sound drop?
We'll work on it. We'll work on it. Yeah.
I think you should probably work
figure
on
it out.
It.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. I think that Taryn picked up a thing or two at Todrick Hall's house. He's just working on, you know, getting me through the routine.
Yeah. It's a whole thing, but, you know,
we're working on it.
Down.
We're working on it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Perfect. Can't
okay
wait to see.
All right. So we're very excited to be here to talk about this here with you live after the episode here tonight. Of course, a couple of programming notes. We'll be back tomorrow night. 2-hour episode. Our first eviction of the season. We'll have a veto. We'll be a live veto, Taryn.
I think that's what was said, but it's weird if it is, but mm-hmm. I don't know.
Sure. Okay. Veto. We'll have our first eviction ceremony and we'll have the first person kicked out of Celebrity Big Brother. So that's going to be on Friday night, but Friday morning, 11 a.m. Can you believe it? It'll be a Puya Friday in February, Taryn.
There you go. We didn't think it was coming, but it'll be here.
Yeah. Okay. So be on the lookout for that. Taryn's going to be live here streaming on YouTube and Twitch, ready to go here with your first live feed update of the season coming up on Friday. Of course, make sure that you don't miss any of our podcast coverage from Big Brother. Go to robinswebsite.com/bbfeed to make sure you're subscribed to get all of our Big Brother podcasts. And if we don't get at least one rating and comment in the Apple Podcast Store, no live feed update tomorrow. I'm canceling it.
Oh, boy.
Okay, I mean business. We're Joe Millionaire-ing this thing.
Yeah,
okay?
Taryn's career relies on you. So
mm-hmm
someone needs to volunteer.
If I wake up tomorrow,
here,
there's not one Apple Podcast review for the Big Brother podcast feed of Robin's Podcast. That's it.
Nobody gets their update.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Rob will turn this car around. It will be the end of your field trip.
That's it. Okay. All right. So, boy, Tara, what's the headline tonight?
I think the headline is, hey, they're playing the game.
Yeah.
This is
we're
great.
Gaming. We're gaming. I don't think we're gaming well. This is a bad game.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. Kirsten.
Listen, I have it on good authority that there does seem to be a game going on. Okay. So,
yeah. What a wild left turn we took about 45 minutes into the episode where everything was like, okay, it's going to be kind of like a snoozy week. And I'm not talking about Todd Bridges snoring. Okay, Todd Bridges and Chris Kattan are going on the block. Chris Kattan is going home on Friday. Okay. And then
we got this storyline with Mirai talking to Todrick. Todrick goes back to Misha, and all of a sudden, that we have the, like the lamest deal ever, and it's like, oh, that's a good deal. And Mirai's on the block, Kirsten.
Yeah, I'm not happy about this personally. Was very excited about Mirai, and I still am excited about Mirai. I think that Todrick's decision to be like, okay, well, I guess I definitely have to choose between Mirai and Misha right now, which I think debatable. Mm-hmm. I think choosing Misha in that is an interesting decision. I know she's HOH right now, but like she doesn't have to know you didn't choose her.
Yeah. Taryn, did Puya perhaps make a deal with an evil spirit of like who went all in to win the Big Brother draft with Xavier, and then basically he got double grenaded in Survivor, went all in on Mirai here with the first pick in our Big Brother celebrity draft?
Perhaps. I don't know how long he'll be paying off that debt, but it seems like this might not be the season for him.
I wondered if maybe Voce put a hex on him.
Voce doesn't have the power. Stop it.
I don't know. He works with the brain.
If you want to tempt fate, go ahead. But I'm all in on Voce.
Okay.
Listen, just for the record.
There are some things that are worth being cursed for. Mm-hmm. So I'm just going to keep my Voce stance.
Kirsten, we haven't talked to you yet this season about BB's celebrity. Do you have a favorite in the game so far?
Okay. So this is where I do admit that Puya and I did a draft together preseason, and our views are very aligned. I am here prepared to be standing Mirai all year. I am a huge figure skating fan. During the Olympics, I will watch figure skating all day if it is on. I didn't get to watch most of the 2018 Olympics, which we don't need to touch on, but I'm still mad about it. But I love the Winter Olympics, so I really am ready to stand. But honestly, for the most part, I feel like there's just so much. I feel like this is such a fun cast. I know that there's been some complaints about not being excited about this cast.
No, that was last week.
I was happy with it from day one. I thought that this was a very fun group, a very interesting group. There's a lot of connections that will be fun to explore. And two episodes in, and I've watched 5 minutes of live feeds, I'm in. I'm all in. My life has been taken over. Sorry to my real job, I guess.
Okay, well, if you're new to our podcast coverage, we're going to go through the episode. And then after we get through talking about what happened in the episode, we'll get into talking about what's been going on the live feeds. If you're in the chat, try not to reveal anything too much from the live feeds until we get to that section of the podcast, if that is at all possible. All right, let's go through it because I don't want to miss anything. There was a lot. So we start with Todrick Hall. Taryn, the Todrick Hall ends up being a part of, basically ends up in an alliance with, 8 of the other 10 people in the house by the end of this episode.
Yes. Great, great position here for Todrick. He is, he's basically in the power position. He's got all of the connections. He's got all of the knowledge. And it seems like so far he's not pushing too hard to get a specific thing to happen. He's content with just maintaining this position because it is a very safe position. He's the one to watch, it seems, so far. We'll see how long he can hold this.
Okay.
I won't trust it until we see the season 15 Andy just sitting there and every single person having a DR feeling comfortable with him. Until we see that, I don't trust it.
Taryn, do you feel like is this a dangerous tricky spot for Todrick to navigate? Do you think that he is in danger of being blown up, or this is exactly where you want to be?
I think this is exactly where you want to be. I mean, yes, it's dangerous, but it's less dangerous than any other spot, because in any other spot, you could be nominated and evicted. And he is not in danger of being nominated and evicted at this point, right? You always want to be in the position to screw up and lose the position rather than just never having the position in the first place.
Very fair. Kirsten, I just keep getting nervous for him because he's in these alliances with all these people. And then there are so many people that just like show all their cards. They're like, oh, here's my alliance. Here are all of the people in it. And there was a couple times in this episode where then he was just like with new people. And then a person was talking about an alliance. And like, oh, yeah. And Todrick is in the alliance. And like, I was waiting for somebody to say, like, wait, hold on. You are in our alliance already? You have an alliance with me.
Yeah, and that's the thing that makes me nervous, because they've already been in the house for a little while, so they definitely can give a little bit more of like an edit than normally you would get on a Big Brother episode. So it's like, it makes me nervous that maybe it doesn't stay as stable as it seems in this episode, that maybe people will catch on to him. But it also really depends on what he does in this position as well, right? But with everybody going around and just like putting their car, I'm like, so who's the most like dev bro here? Because I feel like we've got a lot of options. Don't you think like pretty much everyone is willing to be like, okay, it's middle of the night, let me recruit you to
bring
my
in
alliance.
Some more people.
Yeah.
I mean, between Cynthia being like, oh, you want to make an alliance? That's convenient, because I actually already have an alliance with Carson. Shayna. Oh, and Todrick, you're right here. Yeah, the four of us are. Why don't you two join? Wild. Carson with it's part of a bigger plan. Don't hurry.
What was that?
Yeah. What about Mirai? That she said, like, oh, you already have an alliance? Like, well, can we be in your alliance? Can we join the alliance? Well,
I think that at least like Mirai in that situation, that's kind of the best thing to say once that information is out there,
yeah.
Right? Like once Cynthia drops it and is like, yeah, we already have this alliance. Asking to join is probably the only move you really have in that moment, but you have to keep it in the back of your mind. Like, well, I am on the bottom of this totem pole.
Yeah. But I'm just saying, like, so this is 2022, and this is what, like, the, you know, with the Big Brother Canada, like, what, this is like the 30th iteration of Big Brother, at least, that we've watched. I don't know if we've ever seen people just like, may I just join this alliance?
I mean, it didn't not work.
To be fair, Aza kind of was like, hey, can I hop in with Big D and Xavier?
Okay.
Yeah. They already had like a whole thing too, though, at the time, mm-hmm. right? Or is my timeline backwards?
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, she was in with them a little bit, but when Big D was like, yeah, we've already got a final two going on, she was going to like, yeah, well, can I?
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. All right. So Todrick, that he gets approached to be part of the athlete alliance, which of course the three athletes in the house, it's Misha, Lamar, and Todrick. Mm-hmm. I'm like, what about the Olympian?
It literally infuriating that to like leave her out, especially because in the end when we see her like approach Mariah, it's like, yeah, I want you with the athletic people because you did so well in the HOH. Like, ma'am, this is an Olympic like bronze medalist.
Yes.
Like, what are you talking about?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
I mean, I imagine that she always intended to include Mirai. You know, who the nominations probably happened like the next day, so she probably did intend to include Mirai in this, but she seems to have approached Chris Kirkpatrick first as well. So I don't know how athletic this alliance is supposed to be.
Mm-hmm. I think you might be placing a little bit too much logic onto Misha's decisions, Taryn.
Well, that's one of Taryn's draft picks. Yeah. Okay. All right. So then Todrick and Chris Kirkpatrick. Chris Kirkpatrick says, Todrick reminds me of a young me. Okay.
Yeah.
How could he not?
This is they're bonding over their fandom of the show, which tends to be huge, and it's one of the reasons why like you don't always want to be super hesitant about proclaiming your fandom, because it is a big bonding thing for people in the game to talk about how you're a fan of the show, you know what's going on. It's something that that can really sort of glue people together.
Yeah. Also, no chance that they didn't talk pregame, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's part of it.
Yeah, right. Like, you know, they have a mutual in Lance Bass.
Yeah, I mean, they know the show. They know what they're doing.
They know each other.
Had this conversation before, probably.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Except I think it's more real for Chris Kirkpatrick than it is for Todrick.
Yes. Well, I mean, he has less options.
Yes. Yes, for sure. Okay. Then Mirai is in the shower. And then she wants to do an alliance with Todrick. How about Teddy also?
Well, yeah, they were all in the vicinity of the showers, so it was mm-hmm. only natural that they would work together.
Yeah, okay. So Mirai talks to Cynthia about the alliance, and we end up with that alliance of Carson and Todrick with, who is it, Shayna and Cynthia. Then mm-hmm. that now expands to be an alliance of six with Mirai and Teddy.
I did really like... Mirai really was just speaking for Teddy mm-hmm. in this whole segment.
Yeah. And at this point, we learn that, okay, Todrick has an alliance with everybody except for Chris Kattan and Todd Bridges, who are just asleep all the time, Taryn.
Yeah, that seems to be the implication here. Any content we got from Todd or Chris Kattan were about how Todd snores and has a weird tattoo. And that Chris Kattan doesn't like Todd because he snores.
Well, we found out later Chris Kattan is not sleeping all the time.
Yeah, he can't sleep.
He's trying to, like, but he can't.
Do you think that Chris Kattan and Todd just have like, they're on like different shifts? Like, you know, they like tap each other in and out like when it's their turn to sleep. Like, well, I can't sleep when Todd's sleeping. He snores.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe they're working together. It's a buddy system. Yeah. Maybe they have a final two. Although Chris Kattan said he doesn't like Todd Bridges because he snores.
I mean, that's not why, okay?
He did say it's because he snores.
Yeah, he said, I don't like him. Just kidding. But I don't think he was kidding. I think that's like
kidding,
when
not
you
kidding.
Say just kidding because you feel like you've said something mean, but really like that was like his deepest emotional feeling in that moment.
Mm-hmm. I mean, this is the newest segment on... Is Chris Kattan joking?
Yes. Yes. This is what Chris Kattan said about Todd Bridges.
I don't hold his snoring against him. But his snoring sounds like, you know, two elephants are giving birth at the same time.
It's okay. Here's the thing. Yes, it is very annoying to have to sleep in the same room or house as someone who is a loud snorer. I think that most people have had that experience. It's not that enjoyable. I mean, it doesn't sound like Todd is like that bad of a snorer compared to some people that I've heard in my life. So I'm just like, I don't think that's what it sounds like when elephants are giving birth.
Two elephants, no less. Do elephants have notoriously loud births?
I mean, elephants make loud noises, and I feel like it would be very painful to birth an elephant, so a large baby.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I do often find myself thinking, like, as Rob is talking, like, this sounds a little bit like two elephants giving birth at the same time.
Oh, my God.
So, I mean, I don't know if you caught the resemblance, Kirsten, to Todd snoring, but I felt like it was close.
You're saying I'm boring?
It's not like...
No, two elephants giving birth at the same time. Yes.
Very exciting.
Boring?
Yeah,
that
it's exciting.
As far from
it's a miracle.
As it could be wrong. Yeah. Oh my God.
The circle of life.
Yeah,
I just can we get a like side by side of Todd snoring and Rob speaking? Because I feel like.
Well, what's Rob supposed to say?
Can we get a clip of two elephants giving birth at the same time? Because I feel like that would be the trifecta.
We'll get taken off YouTube.
Please don't tag me in that tweet. Actually, I don't want to see the elephants giving birth.
It's at Kirsten said what?
No.
So let's talk about the alliances. Okay. The alliance name. We have an alliance name. Formation. First off.
And it's not even an alliance of four.
It's not formation. It's six-mation.
Yeah. Well, they wanted it to be a formation.
I think that Carson was sitting on formation from when it was four people and they threw it off with the other two people.
I mean, but now they can get the original four together and Carson can be like, listen, we're formation, but we are
formation. Yes.
Yeah.
Smart. That's smart. Okay.
And then you're not going to get caught talking about an alliance, you know, in front of the larger alliance, right? Yeah.
Okay. Taryn, let's talk about the tattoo of Mr. Todd Bridges. Okay. Todd Bridges says, check out my tattoo. You think your chest tattoo is something, Lamar Odom? Well, check this out. Look at
Are
my
we
tattoo.
Pulling out tattoos?
Let me, yeah, check this out.
Look at my tattoo.
Okay. not a futuristic cop. I thought was that Taryn?
Look, Rob, I didn't want to have to do this on a podcast. I was hoping to wait until Todd came out of the house so that we could discuss it together. But yes, he was very drunk and he was looking for something
to tattoo
on his body.
Yes.
I happened to be walking by. We ended up talking. And then, you know.
That's things, no things future happen. Cop. That's the robot. I'd recognize him anywhere.
Maybe he got confused about Taryn being a robot, robo-cop. Like, it's a very easy mistake to make. Although, to be fair, I think that Taryn's head is more proportional to his body than Todd's tattoo.
Chris, I loved how much Shayna loved Todd's tattoo.
Yes. There is nothing like a absolutely hideous tattoo to bring like a group of people together, truly. Like, my brother-in-law has the worst tattoos I've ever seen.
What is it?
And okay, well, one of them, I won't go over all of them, he has one, it's on the lower stomach area, would go just above like a pair of shorts, and it says E-Town in like a very like if you think E-Town. Like a stereotypical tattoo font, that's it. He's from Edmonton, okay?
Okay.
So it says E-Town, and he got that tattoo. It's very similar to Todd's story because he was very drunk in Mexico and woke up in his hotel room, looked down, and went, oh, no.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm going to pitch right here for Renap for bracket season. Worst listener tattoo bracket. Send photos.
Akiva doesn't want any more options for the brackets.
Okay.
He said four
brackets. I'm putting
it
out there. Worst listener tattoo bracket.
I would love to see
Maybe
it.
Maybe we get Todd Bridges as a guest.
Listen, I would be happy to help with compiling the tattoo bracket. Okay. I don't need to be on the pod. I'm happy to help.
Okay. Taryn, we got our first session of Kardashian talk here on the episode tonight. First of all, I thought it was very funny when Todrick asked Lamar, could you imagine? Look at us. Like, who would have thought when we came into the house that we? And he's like, Lamar's like, yeah, I didn't know you were gonna be here. Didn't know.
Yeah, I was hoping Khloe would be here.
Yeah, I was hoping it would be Khloe Kardashian. Kirsten, what a wild twist it would be for Celebrity Big Brother to bring Lamar Odom and Khloe Kardashian together for this season.
It would be a bold decision, definitely good for ratings. I felt like all of the talk of Lamar, like, I feel like it's been gaslighting me. So I had to go and confirm when they got divorced because I was like, this isn't like that recent of a divorce. And it's like, I think it was finalized in 2016, but the process started in 2013. Like, it's not new. And so I just think it is wild for him to be so upfront about this in the house, which makes me think that this has Kris Jenner's fingerprints all over it.
Taryn, a lot of people say, okay, Lamar Odom, the biggest get that they had for this season, that was sort of like the biggest name on a lot of the website. Is it possible? Did they trick Lamar Odom and make him at least think there was a chance Khloe Kardashian was going to be in the house?
It would not surprise me if they reached out to Lamar and they were like, hey, you want to do this show? It's called Big Brother. And he was like, what's that? And they're like, oh, okay, let's show you a clip. This is Big Brother 4. They happen to have some exes in the house with them. That happened to be the twist in Big Brother 4. This is Big Brother.
Not saying they do this every time, but
what do you think? And he's like, ooh, ah, this is intriguing, actually. What kind of twists are there going? Well, there's going to be some big twists. There's going to be some big names.
You never know who's going to be now, there.
Do you think they could have just shown Lamar like a clip of X on the beach and been like, yeah, Big Brother's kind of like this. And then that could have worked as well.
I mean, they showed him like Mark and Elena, like, oh,
they're like, look, these are both reality TV shows. Look, the exes.
Mm-hmm. They're exes and they were in the Big Brother house. Interesting, right? Wouldn't you say, Lamar?
Happened before.
Yeah.
Could happen again.
Yeah.
This could also be like this is his Facebook post, right? Like, this is his status on Facebook. He's on a television show and he's like, this is gonna get back. This is gonna get back to Chloe. I'm gonna in my unguarded moments, I just really wish that I could have done better. He's trying to send a message.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like this, definitely the most likely thing to be a TMZ headline, right? Has it already been one? I don't pay attention to TMZ.
We'll have to check it after the show. But so Shayna comes in. Hey, Kristen, what restraint it must have taken for Shayna not to trash the Kardashian family in this moment?
I mean, I feel like it's probably less restraint and more piles and piles and piles of paperwork.
Mm-hmm.
don't say like, donkey. Don't say donkey.
It's like, oh yeah, can't say donkey because of like NDA number 4. Mm-hmm. Shoot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh man, they're talking about zoos. Don't mention donkey.
No, there's not normally donkeys in zoos. It's fine. It's mm-hmm. fine. Don't bring it up. It's fine.
Talk about the elephants giving birth. Okay. Let's talk about some game talk. All right, Taryn, let's go. Misha is trying to figure out what to do with her nominations. She talks to Chris about the alliance.
Okay. Yes, she's talking to Chris, and she's like, hey, what do you think about joining my alliance?
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, yeah, I mean, sure. And then Todrick's walking by, and she's like, hey, Todrick, look.
Yeah.
He's in the alliance now.
Yeah. And Todrick, with the audacity to say, what? How is Chris Kirkpatrick in the Athletes Alliance?
The other thing, too, that I found people saying a lot in this episode is being like, do you want to join my alliance for now? Do you want to join my alliance for this week? Like, it's a lot of, like, not reassuring people, which, like, obviously you can't reassure everyone. Like, it could get back to mm-hmm. everyone, whatever. But, like, I feel like approaching people like, do you want to join my alliance this week? It doesn't foster that much confidence.
This is a short season.
Well, but also it's too soon to make an alliance for some people, so it's just really hard to balance. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. A little Goldilocks stuff going on.
When will it be just right? That's when what
will
I'd like to know.
When will it be? Okay. So, all right, they're talking about who should we have go home? And so we get the first talk of Teddy. Teddy is like a medium threat. She has the potential to win the game. She's kind of smart. She's not a big threat, but she's enough of a threat. Should we go after Teddy?
Yeah, that seems like it has been Misha's thought since jump, right?
I mean, going back from when Teddy said, well, hey, yeah. If I drop, will you keep me safe? No.
She said, I don't want to be a liar, so I will not give you a deal. Like, it was not even subtle whatsoever. Really bad look for me.
But just think, Kirsten, if Teddy had said, if I drop, you won't put me up, and then if I win HOH, I won't put you up, that would have been the magic solution to turn the key.
But would you be able to believe her during the competition?
I guess
or
not.
Does it have to be at gorgeous, gorgeous girl gym time, you mm-hmm. know? Mm-hmm. Who knows?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Teddy is in trouble.
Teddy's in trouble. And, you know, you do have Todrick and Chris Kirkpatrick kind of trying to push the easy route.
Mm-hmm.
Catan, Todd, you know, nobody's going to miss them.
Okay. All right. Let's get to our BB Gala talk here tonight, because we are ready to talk a little bit about Monwan. Monwan. We first heard about Monwan last night, and I said, oh, Monwan, this must be some reference that I don't know, and that Kirsten mm-hmm. will make fun of me for not knowing about
Monwan designers. Like, yes. You had me Googling.
Like, everybody, like, you idiot. You don't know Monwan? So then tonight, we talked about Monwan again. And I said, why are they? We talked about Monwan again. It's not, nobody knew the reference. And we're bringing it up again. We're making a very big deal about Monwan. And I looked at it. Monwan backwards is now Nam.
Oh boy.
What?
What?
I'm safe. I've got the hat.
You got the bag. Don't fumble the bag.
Exactly. Okay.
You think they pull it out of the bag?
Monwan is now not. It's a blessing and a curse.
I mean, what else could it be?
What else could it be? and we played this game, and Taryn, it was like we were back in BBOTT.
I guess so.
Remember that?
So which one?
Yeah, could you forget? It's obviously the first HOH, right? Was when they had the t-shirts.
Oh, yeah.
Right? If I'm wrong, please don't at me. That was mm-hmm. a long time ago.
Mm-hmm. It's the same idea, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, how do we think this is going to work? Exactly.
I think that we saw where Cynthia is the Monwan winner. I think at the ceremony tomorrow night, they will tell her, now Nam.
Third nominee,
I think, live on the spot.
But what if at the live eviction they go, now Nam, as in, now you're a Nam.
No, but she's safe. They told her she's safe.
This isn't Survivor. We don't just lie to
people. Yeah, that's not a twist. That's a lie.
You don't know what these shows are willing to do. They can easily mm-hmm. lie to her and to us.
Yeah. So that's my thing. That, remember, the hat is a blessing and a curse for somebody. A curse for somebody.
I mean, you could also describe it as a blessing and a blessing, right? Mm-hmm. If it's like you're safe and you get to Nam. Like, that's kind of just a double blessing.
For you and a curse for someone else.
For someone else.
Yeah, but it's still like, it's like that's 2-1 on the ratio there. I think it evens out to just overall it's a blessing.
It's certainly a blessing for Cynthia if that's how it works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we'll see. Did anything strike you from the hat passing, Taryn?
I mean, I liked the concept of it being sort of the reverse of the, like, giving safety, right? It's I am making you vulnerable. There's a little bit of gameplay here. Misha's like, well, I can't let Teddy know that I'm coming for her. Misha, she knows. mm-hmm. She tried to make a deal with you during the HOH competition. She knows. So basically people like it, trying to game this, like Misha's like, okay, I'm going to give it to Kirkpatrick and then he's going to know to give it to her. Didn't really work out. And then you see Carson, who I think has a decent idea, which is if you're Carson, or even more so, Todrick, you probably don't want this safety. You're already probably safe.
Yeah.
And, you know, being the person that is, you know, essentially given safety by the entire house kind of makes people look at you twice, right? So this idea of like, okay, well, let's give it to each other. And it's also a good way to be like, oh, we're not that close. Maybe we're closer to other mm-hmm. people. Except, the method with which, Carson, does this,
it was so subtle. Hey,
we're safe, so let's give it to each other.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then when he gives it to, it's part of a bigger plan.
Yeah.
Not good. Not good.
Mm-hmm. Not since Keith Nail. Like, have we stuck to something like this? This is ridiculous.
What's the thinking there where it's like, oh, I'm making it seem like he's my enemy?
Well, but was that what the thinking?
That's what I'm guessing. I'm asking. Like, was he trying to make it seem like there's like some distance with him? Like, was Todrick supposed to be like, you bastard. How could you?
I think Carson was supposed
ultimate
to be like,
ultimate betrayal.
Here you go. F you. Take this. You're in danger. I don't know. Like,
mm-hmm.
I don't know, man. I like that they couldn't let Chris Kattan settle, though. That was nice. He can't feel settled.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
I feel like the play here is just, sorry. That's
mm-hmm.
it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is a little bit of like, oh, you feel awkward. Yeah, like, oh, it's fine. And then later, you know, you have Todrick complain about it. Like, yeah. Oh, I can't believe he gave mm-hmm. me the bag. Like, I really thought we were closer than that.
Okay.
I feel like Mirai did like a decent job of being like, oh, this isn't fun. And then like blindfolding herself, kind of.
Spinning
like,
around in circles.
Not a bad way to yeah. handle it if you're in kind of middle of the pack and you don't really know where to go. I mean.
Very figure skatery. She's like.
Maybe she was trying to escape to Narnia. In the bag. Come on.
She's like, where is it? I knew it was in here somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. So after the ceremony, all right, Cynthia ends up winning the Mon Juan bag. And so in the kitchen, Chris is talking about how this went. Now, he was the first recipient of the bag from the HOH, who made him not safe. And he wonders, is it bad if I end up receiving the bag from the HOA?
Well, and you know, HOAs have really high standards for how things can mm-hmm. be. Like, maybe his facial hair was not groomed to the standards of the HOA. Like, you mm-hmm. don't know. There could mm-hmm. be a problem.
Yeah. Look, you don't want to be on the wrong side of the HOA.
Like, yeah, as a big brother fan, like, you have to always be concerned about what the HOA is thinking of you.
They're all HOAs. Always thinking about what's going on the block.
Yeah,
for sure.
They could be a pain in the ass mm-hmm. if you're not on their good side.
You don't want to open your door, your front door, and find a bag that says "Nom Now" from your HOA.
I don't think you want to open your front door and find a bag from anybody.
Yeah.
Step unless
depends
it's like a
bag
you've ordered.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
maybe it's a bag of food.
Okay. Teddy is starting to realize that maybe not in a great spot with the HOH, Misha. Teddy is starting to get a little worried, Taryn.
Yeah. I mean, again, she, I'm pretty sure she was in that competition. I'm pretty sure she was there. And then, you know, I'm sure that, you know, there are such things as vibes. You know, mm-hmm. you try to talk to somebody. Hey, remember that time where I asked you for safety and you're like, nah, like, how about we chat and like get to know each other better? And maybe in the future you would give me safety. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. she can tell.
Yeah. Yeah.
She doesn't okay. need Mirai to let her know.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, Misha, Kirsten, feels like a very important part of her HOH is getting somebody she can trust on the block as a pawn to help pull off this back door of Teddy. This is a very important part of this plan.
Well, you know, when you are going after a threat such as Teddy, you have to make sure you have the right people in place to win that veto mm-hmm. To make sure she ends up on the block, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Taryn, Misha doesn't need all these pawns on the block, right?
No, I mean, look, I think that if she's actually trying to pull Mirai in, this is not the play. You put people on the block as pawns. You tell them, hey, look, I'm sorry that I have to do this, but I'm doing it because I trust you and I want to work with you in the future, whatever it is. But you're lying to them. You're lying to them mm-hmm. because you're putting them on the block because you don't trust them and they're expendable to you. What you don't do is tell somebody your entire alliance and plan and then say, and also I'm putting you up on the block and genuinely I'm doing this because I trust you and I want to work with you. That doesn't play. That doesn't work. Mm-hmm. That's not the way to do it.
Yeah.
Well, you know, sometimes you just You have to do it. There's no other option. There's nobody else in the house that could be put up, obviously. Misha's messy as hell. Like, why? Why is she doing all this?
We don't know.
Needs
a pawn. Gotta take out Teddy.
If you're the first HOH and you have a majority alliance, then you do just do the boring move. You put up Catan, you put up Todd, and then you backdoor a bigger threat on the other side, something along those lines. If you're not in the majority alliance and you need to split up whatever group there is, then you just straight up do what essentially Misha does end up doing, which is you put two people from the other side up against each other and you stop that from growing before it ever really starts. But either way, you're putting people up that you are not planning to work with long term necessarily. You can maybe, if you put Catan or Todd up, be like, hey, you're the pawn. I'm going to work to make sure you stay safe. And if the other side of the house is trying to get you out, then I'm going to be working to protect you. You can develop a relationship through that, but you can't start with I'm on your side and then I'm putting you up. And also, here's all of my information. Like, that's just not it.
Yeah, here's everything I have going on. And also, here's how I'm going to totally screw you over at the first possible chance. Not great.
Okay. No. Mariah doesn't like this. Okay.
Rob? Would you like this?
Man, I don't think I would like it. No.
Yeah.
But Mariah really, she didn't like it. She went and she told Teddy, all right. Misha is coming for you, Teddy. It's happening, Teddy. I knew it.
Yeah.
She knew it. If she hadn't known it, that would be pretty embarrassing considering what we saw last night.
Pretty obvious. Yeah. Okay. But so then, Mariah, here's where Mariah really goes wrong. Okay. Then Todrick knows the plan. After it's Teddy tells Todrick, hey, Mariah told me that Misha is coming for me, Todrick.
Yeah. This, so in my opinion, when Mariah hears from Misha, this is my alliance. I want to put you up on the block and I want Teddy to be the target. And in this alliance, Todrick is in this alliance. Not only is he in the alliance, he's the first person I went to. Now, Mariah is also in an alliance with Todrick, a separate one, the formation. Mariah needs to go, either she needs to go fully against Todrick and rat Todrick out and be like, Todrick is backstabbing us. Or she needs to go to Todrick and be like, hey, Misha just pulled me in. I'm on board. But what are we going to do about this Teddy thing? Work together with Todrick. When she goes to Teddy without approaching Todrick, when Todrick is eventually going to find out that he has been name dropped to her, it says to him, Mariah doesn't trust me. She knows I'm in this alliance. She knows I'm in this other alliance and she hasn't talked to me about it yet. That's dangerous for me. And when he gets this information from Teddy, his decision kind of becomes clear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Has to go to Misha and tells Misha about all of this.
Yeah.
I mean, did he have to do this?
I mean, if he's making the decision, right, between Teddy and Mariah, Teddy is the one that approached him with information and Mariah is the one that seemingly did not.
I feel like he didn't have to make this decision yet. Like, I get that once he makes the decision, this is absolutely what he has to do. But, like, I think he could have sat on it for a little longer.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I feel like why sit on it, right? Like, if he does this, if it works properly, right, then he's got Teddy. He's like, hey, I'm working to help you, Teddy. And she's the one that approached him with the information. It also keeps Teddy and Misha both in the house as big threats and targets who are going after each other. And it takes out Mariah, who is somebody who is being approached by both sides and has information on him and isn't talking to him about it. So I feel like it's kind of a win-win as long as he pulls it off.
Well,
right?
I just wonder, in a house as messy as this is so far, I see little chance of success of being able to navigate something like this with like, okay, well, how did you know? It's like, well, oh, Todrick told me about this and then turns into a whole thing. Now he's caught up in the drama.
Yeah, that is the danger, right? Which is, I did like how he told it to Misha, because when he was going to, I was like, oh, I don't know if this is going to stay under the lid here. But he was kind of like, look, I saw right after you talked to Mirai, she went straight to Teddy. They were talking for a while. And then Teddy was like, I'm not feeling great. Kind of let the implication linger that like she went straight there. Not directly linked to him seemingly either, right? So I feel like it was the right play there. But again, this is definitely a house where like Misha could have then gone to Teddy and been like, so Todrick just said you knew what was up. But she didn't. So it seems like it's working for now.
Okay. Yeah, I think it's just hard because we don't know these people as players yet that much. So I like my instinct with Misha is to be like, she does not pass the vibe check. I do not trust her. She is not the kind of person that I would want to be working with. And so it just makes me very nervous to trust her too much from what we've seen. But obviously there's so much more that we haven't seen that, like, I don't know, maybe there's more to it. But I would not want to be playing with Misha.
Okay. Let's keep going because a lot happens here in the last couple of minutes of this episode. Okay. So Misha now with Teddy, they go to the gym, Kirsten. And so Teddy's like, okay, I got a Hail Mary here. I got to put it out a deal for Misha. And it's like, okay, well, like, let's see this Hail Mary. And she says, okay, here's my deal. If you don't put me on the block, I won't put you on the block. Like, well, for how long? A little while. Not for a little while. I'm not going to put you on the block. Like, wow, Misha is blown away.
The season's only a little wild, so that's a pretty good agreement to make.
Mm-hmm. In a couple of weeks, we'll have another conversation, she says.
Yeah.
I mean, there's an opening here, which is why I think this has any chance of working. I feel like this is never going to last. I mean, Misha should never trust this deal. I don't care how much Teddy is going to tell us in the diary room, like, oh, I actually mean the deal. Because if Teddy survives the week and she wins next week and she has an alliance of five or four other people, however many are left, and the other side of the house looks like Chris Kirkpatrick, Lamar, Chris Kattan, Todd Bridges, and Misha, the person who just won and almost targeted her, she's really going to be like, okay, Chris Kattan, I'm sorry, you're out of here. No, she's gonna be like, actually, you know what? I meant it in the moment, but now that the opportunity has presented itself, I'm gonna go after you.
The fact of the matter is that she offered the same deal two times and was rejected one time and accepted the second time. Like, you can't put trust in, like, this is a foundation built up. It's made of sand. Like, you can't trust this.
Yeah. There needs to be a foundation of an actual social relationship here. She needs to be like, look, I know that, like, for whatever reason, we haven't, like, gotten a chance to really talk yet, but, like, you know, just sit down and talk to Misha. Like, wow, like, where is she from? Like, what is her life? Like, have a conversation with her, get to know her, make some kind of bond with her, and then be like, man, you know, I would really love to work with you. I know, you know, like, I really, you know, and
you're into fitness. Either way, I'm into fitness.
Yeah. And it might come off as transparent because maybe you're not good at it. And it might come off as like, I don't trust this, but it's the same as offering a 1 week deal in terms of like what you're actually offering. It's just wrapped in a nicer package. And it's a little more believable and it has a higher chance of working.
I really liked Taryn's Teddy impersonator of look. I really would like to hear more of that.
Look. I've got some great personal trainers for you.
You don't need a trainer. And what's this nickname? Like Cupcake. Yeah. Cupcake. Forget about that. We're not doing cupcakes anymore. Okay. So Misha still needs a pawn though. Okay. We got the deal with Teddy. It's too good to be true, but still need a pawn.
She has to go with it.
Need a pawn. So she goes to Carson. So out of left field, Carson, I need to go put you on the block because you're my pawn. to go there. No. Whatever happened to a good old fashioned?
Carson has the smile and nod. Okay, that's what he has instead of the no.
But Taryn, nobody pushes back on this.
Well, that's the thing. None of them have a relationship with Misha, which brings me back to the formation of the formation in the first place, which is, how do you start a week one alliance and not include the week one HOH? It's nonsense. What are you doing? There's one person that has power this week, and that person can ruin your entire game.
And Cynthia. The Mon Juan winner.
Yes.
The Mon Juan wearer. Yes.
You have enough of a connection, a relationship with the HOH to where she's not going to approach you about being a pawn. Or if she does, then you're able to be like, hey, why would we mess up what we've got going on here? Mm-hmm. Don't put me at risk. Put somebody at risk that you don't have a working relationship with. Mm-hmm. Anything that you can do here. But it seems like he didn't. And so he was just kind of like, all right. And he knows he's got allies. He's got the veto. He's got probably some votes. So he's probably going to be okay. But it's not a great place to start from.
Okay. Nominations, week one. They are Mirai and they are Carson. Wild nominations. And Kirsten, I ask you, that is Misha having a Frenchie-esque first week?
I mean, truly the only thing missing is some sort of, promise to a larger cause.
Well, the veto hasn't happened yet. We're still waiting on the veto.
Yeah, I mean, the thing about Frenchie is that he actually was doing much better than Misha in terms of setting himself up, right? Like he had structures built at this point. I think he messed up his nominations more than Misha has. Mm-hmm. Misha, at the end of the day, is not in this formation alliance. And she just put up two people who are in the formation alliance. Like, as a first HOH that's not in the majority, that's huge, whether she meant to or not, right?
Yeah, she stumbled backwards into it.
Yeah. And like, for her, she probably needs Chris Kattan and Todd as numbers to fight this potential majority.
They'll never work together. Todd Bridges snores, Taryn.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. How sad is that to be, if this is week one of Big Brother and you're like, well, I need Todd Bridges and Chris Kattan or it's all over.
Then even if you don't need them, there's no use in like pissing them off. Like, if she wasn't included in this alliance as an HOH in week one, she's never getting in with these people. Right. So she might as well take a shot at them and try to avoid putting blood on her hands with everybody else in the house so that those people are not going to be doing the majority's dirty work and taking her out. Ideally. However, it doesn't seem like she did a lot of groundwork with Chris Kattan. I don't know about Todd, but Kattan was shocked.
Blindsided.
Yeah.
But what did he expect? Because at
he's
the
like,
end
why
of
wasn't
the episode,
I nominated? Like, I was told that I would go home first.
Like, he is sitting
I need to sleep.
In the diary room being like, wow, well, I guess there is a game going on here. Mm-hmm. News to me, like, whew, really makes you think.
Mm-hmm. Who knew?
Like, I'm very curious to watch Chris Kattan on the feeds to see how he is interacting in the house, because I truly feel like, more than anyone I can think of in recent memory, he's like an alien in the Big Brother house. Like,
yeah, he's our Dina Lohan. He's our, very confused person who does not know what is happening.
Well, yeah, he wasn't actually talking about the nominees themselves. He was talking about the ceremony. He was just like, wait, what?
What? What do they do?
We're voting people out of this game?
Like, there's a game? Mm-hmm. What?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you know what? That's also fair. Honestly, though, now that you've compared him to Dina Lohan, I'm a little bit more in.
Okay.
I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Now I'm listening. Okay, Chris Kattan.
Yes. Okay.
We have a couple questions from the listeners. I want to give out the link. robinsonwebsite.com/bbquestions. Let's do a couple questions, and then let's do our first live feed update of the season. Do a little bit of a quick catch-up on what we have learned here in the last hour and change, and then send it to Taryn and Puya on Friday morning, okay? So real quick, couple of questions. Here's one from Reality Hawk. Even though she went about it the wrong way, should we consider Misha dominating 2 hours of the Big Alliance a successful? Yes, Tara just said that. Reality Hawk.
Yeah. I mean, ultimately, I think yes. There's a decent chance that this is going to do some damage to this alliance that she's not a part of. It could help pull Todrick more toward her than them. And it could even pull some of them to her, because in the existing structure, if she leaves this structure alone, then she's forever going to be on the outside of it.
Yeah.
So by nominating two of them, she has done a good job. Now, it also has made a huge target of her, especially the way she's gone about it. And that's the danger here. She could easily be gone in the next couple of weeks. But if you're in this position, you got to do something. It's better to try something than just die a slow death, I think.
Okay.
The only thing is, does she realize that that's what she's doing?
No. Okay. All right. Here is a question. Megan from DC. If Mirai, hopefully, makes it through the week, what's her best move for sharing the intel she gained by finding out that Todrick was already in all the alliances she was invited into? Sharing that definitely seems like her right move, but who is the best audience to actually move forward with this information? Kirsten, you have a thought on this?
I think in this situation, you wait to see who wins the HOH and then you share the information accordingly, because if you choose the wrong person to share it with and then somebody else wins HOH, you could still end up being seen as the bigger threat for blowing things up. I think that that's something that you wait on a little bit, maybe make it clear that you are targeting Todrick and you won't be targeting anybody else until he's out. Tough to be in the spot so early. Yeah, like, she's not a sleeping giant, but she might need his blood on her hands.
Yeah, I mean, I think, like I said, if you're in this spot, you have to go in one direction or the other. You can't just continue to not choose a side. And that, I think you have to make that choice based on what is my relationship with Todrick. Do I have a good relationship with him? Is this something that I can approach Todrick and get in on this? Because it's early enough that you could, and you could be, you know, the JC to his Tyler, right? At the very least. And kind of like have that, knowledge, be in on all of the, if you can identify that player and get in with them early on, that's going to put you in a much better position moving forward, as long as you know how to, you know, contain the situation. The other side of it is, do I not have a good enough relationship with Todrick, in which case I need to start planting seeds against him. I need to start revealing this information as soon as possible. You know, maybe he's good enough to you know, wiggle his way out of this, but it needs to come out now, because, you know, he's probably going to find out that you know, which is ultimately what happened. And if he does, he's going to use his power to take you out. So you need to diminish as much of that power as possible, as soon as possible.
All right, let's do one more question then live feeds. The great Amanda Danforth wants to know, is this the most sleeping we've ever seen in an hour-long episode? Of course, Kirsten, we had Todd Bridges snoring. Then we also had when Lamar Odom was talking in his sleep.
Yes, yeah, so my... I think that combined, the two scenes are probably around the same length as BB18 Corey talking about Christmas in his sleep.
Yeah.
Like, they did a lot of Corey sleep talking. So I think we'd have to get a graph to get the percentage proper. But yeah. I think it's close.
I don't know. This was such a nothing segment, Taryn, that if this was like a regular person, I think that this would be so uninteresting. But are we supposed to be interested in that? Ooh, celebrity Lamar Odom talks in his sleep.
It says
nothing,
so.
Nothing of note. Now, it's not like he's like, Chloe, come back to me.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
I thought that was where they were going with it, if I'm being honest. The fact that they didn't, you know.
What do you say? He said, like, there she goes? What was it they said?
Well, if that is what he said, maybe it was about.
Maybe it was.
There she go.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, celebrities, they're just like us, you know?
Mm-hmm. Talk in their sleep. Yeah.
They talk in their sleep.
Okay.
And can you believe Willis snores?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So relatable. Oh my God. Relatable Kang.
Yes. Okay. All right. Anything else from the episode tonight? I think we got it, right?
I think we really went through that.
We really went through it. Okay. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to do our first break for the live feeds. Okay. Then we'll talk about everything that's going on in our spoiler section of the show. Okay. Of course, we will, if you're leaving us now, we'll be back again Friday night. Live feed update's coming. But if you're leaving us, then you know that we'll talk about a live feed update for tomorrow morning. Okay. So with that being said, for the first time,
the Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message.
Let's talk about the spoiler.
A spoiler.
Warning.
A spoiler.
Warning means that actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
Yes, no, that's right. Okay. First spoilers of the season here as we are ready to go. All right, Taryn, hit me. Oh, there, yes.
Yes, okay.
Well, you're so in sync.
The feeds have started, and there are some changes to the nominations. It appears, perhaps, that this veto will not be live.
Yes.
Because it may have already taken place. Carson may have been the winner of the power veto.
Yeah, it's looking like 2 minutes ago, it's seeming more confirmed that Carson.
Okay, Carson has won the veto.
That is unconfirmed, but seems plausible, especially because we do have even more reason to believe that Teddy is definitely now on the block. Teddy has likely replaced Carson, or at the very least is on the block at this time.
Yes. Okay.
Yes.
All right. There's a lot of information to take in.
Mm-hmm. With Teddy on the block, Misha does want Teddy out.
Oh!
She is no longer targeting Mirai, if she ever really was targeting Mirai. Chris Kirkpatrick does want Mirai out. He's been trying to convince Misha, but she is not budging, and it seems as though the votes are here right now for Teddy to go home tomorrow.
Oh my God. Okay. All right.
Best case scenario, in my opinion.
Okay. Wow. This is huge news. Okay. First off, what does it matter what Misha wants to do?
Well, she does have some votes. She's got Lamar, who I believe told her that he will vote with her, whatever she wants. Mm-hmm. She is trying to make sure she has Chris Kirkpatrick, but he is kind of like, I don't know if I can do it. She seems to also have Todrick on board. Todrick has been in the house talking a lot about the Formation Alliance. He told Chris Kirkpatrick everything about it. He told Teddy that he was like, look, we already had this four thing, and then Cynthia blabbed about it, and then you two came in, and I was never really on board. And they kind of got into it a little bit. But it seems as though Todrick has kind of sided over on the Misha end of things. They also have been counting Todd's vote, and they think that they can maybe get Chris Catan's vote. So I'm not entirely sure where the lines are drawn, if the lines are drawn, but it does appear that that Teddy is in some trouble here.
Okay, so we have an 11-person cast. So normally that would be 8 votes. Cynthia, if my theory holds, could potentially nominate another person, which would make it only be 7 votes on a 3-person vote.
Yes.
Okay. If my theory is correct, but come on.
Yes. So I don't know exactly where Carson, Cynthia, and Shayna stand. I believe when the feeds opened, they opened on Mirai and Shayna talking, and Shayna kind of seemed to be on Mirai's side. So I'm not sure that there's any real contingent to keep Teddy apart from Chris himself. Chris really is seemingly more anti Mirai than pro Teddy. Apparently Mirai was making fun of him last night, perhaps.
What? Did she say, yeah, Chris Kirkpatrick, you could get your butt kicked?
Maybe.
Well, I mean, what could you possibly find to make fun of Chris Kirkpatrick? Chris Kirkpatrick for? What is it? Like, there's nothing that you could possibly mock.
Maybe she's a Backstreet Boy stan.
I mean, it's not impossible.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So some interesting developments going on. Any other headlines at this hour?
Well, there's been a lot of talk about, like, has Todrick been exposed? Because, you know, that, again, was a big storyline in the episode, is that he was sort of in this position. It's not super clear to me yet exactly what Todrick's position is. Outwardly been talking about formation as though it's over. But I think very recently he was just talking to Shayna with Chris Kirkpatrick, and they were talking about how Carson is kind of, he's different, right? Like, he's so obviously playing the game. They're not sure if they can trust him. It seems like he may have been able to pull some of the formation people to his side, whatever side that is at this point. I don't know if this is game, that he's pretending to be anti Carson, if like this whole thing, because Teddy and Mirai are on the block, that they had to blow up the formation, but they're just pretending that it's and that seems a little too high level for these people, but it's possible. So it's unclear at this point where Todrick stands. As far as I know, nobody's really talked about him in a negative way, apart from the interaction that he had with Teddy, where she was kind of just like disappointed that he's not going to be voting to keep her.
Okay. All right. So Todrick looking like he's going to skate through here for the first week.
Maybe. We are not sure.
We're not sure.
Nothing is certain yet. And Taryn hasn't even had a night to piece it all together.
Yeah, I've been able to directly watch about 10 minutes of this.
Yeah.
The rest has been hearsay.
And like the like 10-ish minutes I got to watch was mostly Todrick monologuing.
Yes,
to Teddy. Yeah.
Yeah, like he's got a lot of words per minute in these conversations, from what I've seen so far.
For sure,
he has been like having an eye on the feed. He's been on like almost every feed so far, mm-hmm, having conversations.
Okay, the feed star in the making here. So I guess that potentially Teddy's dad, John Mellencamp, seems like he will be excited if his daughter gets released. He doesn't really seem too familiar with what she's doing.
I can't remember. Have you spoken about his Instagram post yet?
No. Do you want to talk about that?
Like, let me pull it up, because I don't want to report the facts wrong.
We never do.
You know, got to be accurate here. But I laughed so hard when I saw that he had made a post that just went, a television show that Teddy is on premieres tonight. I don't know what she's doing, but I'm proud of her and I hope she achieves her goals.
Hope she achieves her goals. Okay.
I don't think he'll be so happy if she gets voted out tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Taryn, do we have a sense of what Teddy has done to really make Misha sour on her so much?
No. You know, the way that Chris was talking about it with her, he was kind of saying like, look, I get it. You've already nominated her. You don't want to have to go back on it.
What happened to the deal?
Right. Like she basically by nominating Teddy as Carson's replacement, it seems as though she's really like, she's never coming back from that. I don't know if there was more to that. It seemed as though Todrick was alluding to there potentially being more to that. In his conversation with her, he was talking about different people being problematic and people taking things a certain way, specifically referring to Todd. But the feeds were cutting out the entire time, so we have no idea exactly what happened.
Do we have a sense of what changed here in the last 26 hours, where we were expecting live feeds Wednesday, then we got the very late notice of heads up, the live feeds are not going to happen, and look for an update on Friday, and then the feeds are up Thursday.
My guess is it has something to do either with this controversy, something happened, or perhaps, you know, I think Teddy mentioned that she was trying to encourage Mirai to quit. And so there might have been some of that going on as well. It might have just been a situation where they normally would have just had extended downtime. But obviously, when they're supposed to start the feeds at a time where there's extended mm-hmm. downtime, they're like, well, I don't know how long this is going to be down, mm-hmm. but I guess we just got to delay it.
Yeah.
And I've seen some like light rumors on Twitter. So obviously take this with a massive grain of salt that it's possible that maybe somebody did leave for part of the day yesterday, which I would take to mean was in the diary room for an extended period of time being talked off a ledge. Totally unsubstantiated, just yes. I've seen a couple of tweets in the hashtag.
And if I recall Big Brother Celebrity 2, Taryn, correct me if my memory might be off on this, I do feel like that there were feed outages for longer periods of time than we are accustomed to in a normie season of Big Brother.
Definitely, especially again with, you know, contestants that are going to be talking about quitting, people who are going to have, you know, agents and people who are like at CBS's door about like, hey, just don't be airing this. Stop it. Don't let them talk themselves into trouble. Expect a lot of cuts anytime anything remotely controversial is said.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. All right. Anything else we want to talk about the live feeds while we're here? Kirsten, do you have any questions that you want to ask Taryn?
I mean, I feel like Taryn and I have gotten to watch about the same 10 minutes of feeds and have access to the same updaters on Twitter. So I feel like I'll just wait for him to figure it out overnight and give me the full rundown in the morning.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think that's the move here.
All right. Should we start to wrap this up and talk about what's to come?
Let's do it.
Okay. All right. You know that in just under 12 hours, Taryn is going to be back here with Pooya Zamakili, who said in the chat to me, Rob, hold this Uno reverse card. If Teddy goes out, who was my draft pick, it won't be his draft pick to go. But that was my second draft pick, just to be.
Yeah, it's not quite the same.
Not exactly, you know, apples to apples. But we'll talk about it all tomorrow morning on the first live feed update of the season coming up 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific. And then we are going to be talking on Friday night, and we will have myself and Taryn and Jenny Autumn and Jason Reed together for Friday night, 2-hour episode. Okay. Get ready for 2 hours of this nonsense coming up, and then a podcast to follow on a Friday. I know how I'm spending my Friday night. Do you?
It's going to be great.
It's going to be great. It's going to be great. Okay. Should be a wild one coming up on a Friday night, talking about the first eviction night, Taryn.
I'm excited.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's coming up on Friday on Robin's Podcast. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any of that. We had a great time today talking about The Amazing Race. Myself and Mike Bloom and Jessica Lease talked about, I thought this was the best Amazing Race episode of the season this week. And we had a lot of fun breaking it down today on our Amazing Race recap. A couple of really fun moments in that one. Look for our Amazing Race recap plus exit interview with the team who was eliminated this week from The Amazing Race. That's up on robhasthewebsite.com. Of course, then check out with the aforementioned Pooya Zamakili. We're covering everything 90 Day Fiancé before the 90 days, Mondays on Rob Has a Podcast. Also in our 90 Day Fiancé podcast feed. What a bunch of fools there are on that show, Kirsten.
It's not looking great for
them. Talk about, I mean, not always hot dummies, but certainly...
They're not all on islands either.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, a lot of them are this season, but, you know, not always. Okay. Joe Millionaire. Some people are like, hey, Rob, we left our Apple Podcast reviews. It's Thursday. Where's our Joe Millionaire recap with Jenny Autumn? It's coming tomorrow. Okay. No spoilers. No spoilers for me. I have not watched Joe Millionaire season 3 for richer or for poorer yet. We'll watch it tomorrow and podcast with Jenny Autumn. That's coming on Friday here.
Yeah, don't ask, okay? It's coming.
Don't ask. Okay, as they say in my country, TGIF. All right. Then I also got to talk about the first week of Australian Survivor this week with the great Shannon Guss. We talked about Sandra and Nina and all of the Australian Survivor contestants. That's in our Survivor Global podcast feed. We also dropped it in the main podcast feed as well. If you want to catch that, and of course, our patrons of Robin's Podcast found it so easy this week to watch all of Australian Survivor. Another great season is underway. Three episodes in the books for Australian Survivor. They come in hot and heavy, Australian Survivor episodes. Boom, boom, boom. Just like this Celebrity Big Brother season run that we're on. All right, Taryn, tell us about the latest Taryn show.
The Taryn show with Asia. It was a lot of fun. I've talked about, she actually just posted an update on Twitter about some of the things that she's talking about. She's talking about looking for a new house. So check it out. Get to know Asia.
Yes. Host of the Married at First Sight wrap up, and also the co-host of another new podcast coming to reality TV wrap ups very soon. Okay, little tease, a hint.
Okay,
a blind item. Okay, all right. Too hot to handle. Hot dummies on islands. Kirsten, what a crew you had to talk about the finale of Too Hot to Handle season 3.
Yes, I do believe that this panel was the most ambitious crossover of all time. Talked with Jenny Autumn, Lavina, and Puya, and it didn't get as out of control as the season 2 finale pod. Rob, you're allowed to listen to this one.
Yes, okay,
in my
opinion. I will.
But we had so much fun breaking down the end of the season, talking about the hot dummies on islands. And yeah, you could check that out. robhaswebsite.com/hotdummies to keep up on that feed.
Okay. What else we got? Okay. Oh, the weekly wrap up. Tomorrow, we're going to be putting the finishing touches on the best of the week. You had a clip, anything, a moment, a discussion, send it in. Let us know. robswebsite.com/best of, where you pick the best clips of the week and we bring them to you in one bite-sized podcast, capturing everything from the week that was on RHAP. Then, of course, start of the new month, great time to come in, become a patron of Rob's Podcast for Big Brother fans. We have a jam-packed first episode of The Slop coming up here. I've been talking to the First Lady of Podcasting to trying to see if I can recruit her to come in and share some of her celebrity stories of she's had interactions with several members of the Celebrity Big Brother cast. I'm trying to get her to come in on the slop and share them with us for this first slop of the season. Not to mention Australian Survivor, who make it super easy to watch. Our Facebook, Discord, and more. Patreon 5 for 5. That's all at robswebsite.com/patron. When you help support the shows of Rob's Podcast, hit that subscribe button on YouTube, then get notified whenever Taryn is about to go live or we have an episode recap for you. And of course, subscribe to Rob's Podcast wherever you get your podcasts, and be sure to follow us on social media so you don't miss any of the updates at Rob's Podcast on Twitter, on TikTok, and at RHAP Grams on Instagram. Okay. All right. And of course, Taryn, I was seeing people asking about the Stockwatch also in the chat.
It should be good to go. Once we do the first round table, you'll be able to make some purchases. They'll be risky ones, though, because there's going to be 2 evictions before before the next round table. So it's going to be fast and it's going to be furious.
Okay. All right. Whoa. Okay. Don't watch it on 3X. I'll tell you that right now. Okay. All right. Kirsten, what's coming up for you?
So you can follow me everywhere at Kirsten Said What, including twitch.tv/Kirsten Said What. As well as Lindsay Wilson and I are doing a BoJack Horseman rewatch podcast called BoJack Horse Pod. And the next episode that's going to drop on Tuesday is actually season 5, episode 6, which is like the episode of BoJack. Oh. If anyone is ever hearing about like the one super impactful episode, it's that one. And we were joined by Mike Bloom to talk about that.
So, wow. Heavy hitters.
Good one to check out. Yeah, good one to check out on Tuesday.
Okay. All right. Well, Kirsten, great to have you here with us tonight.
Thanks for having me.
The Thursday night recap. Taryn, of course, the feeds are back. What's going on with you?
Tomorrow morning, 11 a.m. Eastern, the first update of the season. We'll try to make sense of what's going on tonight. See if we can get some lay of the land in this house. And then we're going to go straight into an eviction. So that will be interesting. Mm-hmm. So all Big Brother tomorrow, get ready for it. You can also of course find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong, or on Twitter, at Armstrong Taryn. You can find me on YouTube as well. Taryn's Quest, talking about shows and books and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah.
Okay. Do it. Well, what fun. We had live feeds, episodes, great night of Big Brother. Can't wait to do it again tomorrow with you after our 2-hour episode and first eviction of the season. Thank you so much for watching. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.